Welcome back to Whence Came You, a Masonic podcast featuring research papers and discussions related to Freemasonry. Here's your host, Brother Robert Johnson.
All right, welcome back. This is episode 351. Big news, we have a new look on the website. I went ahead and we have to stay relevant and keep things fresh. So we have a new website. I hope you like it. We've redone the logo and it's a classic kind of contemporary look, just kind of updated it a bit. And if you notice, the emphasis is now not so much Whence Came You podcast, but simply WCY podcast, because that is what most people call it. So we're just going with it. And of course, the same great content will be there. Hopefully everything is easier for you actually in terms of navigation on the website. So stop by WCY Podcast and check it out. If you can't find the link you're looking for, then hover over or just click on the More tab and a bunch of other links will pop up there. And primarily those are just the standard things you all are used to and what you're looking for. Hopefully. So many thanks to everybody who showed us some positivity and some love on the new website. Thanks very much. And we also updated the artwork on our Facebook page, so stop by, check it out, and I hope you like it. In other news, the limited edition shop. We had an initial run of 25 lapel pins in the beginning, and then we did 300, and then we did 300 more. And I just sent out number 625. That means we are sold out of lapel pins. It is limited edition. It was limited edition. It is no longer available. I'm relatively certain that we will run something else, but I'm not entirely sure that we are going to run this particular pin again. 625 pins have gone out over the last 5 or 6 years, I think, and I could not be happier for all of the people out there who picked it up, and for the people out there who got our cufflinks and our tie bars. Those are now also sold out. All we have left are WCY money clips, and so they're on the website. Just head on over to WCYpodcast.com, just click on limited edition shop, and you'll be right there. One of the nice parts about the new website also is its mobile interface seems to be pretty good. There's a couple little bugs on there that I'm not quite sure about just yet, but if you click the soft key upper left-hand corner, it just pops open the side tab, and right there you can just hit play and listen to the latest episode. It's all about keeping it simple. We've updated everything across the board, across all of our social media platforms and things, so check it out. I hope you guys like it. On the show this week, I've got an interview with Jeremy Barnes and Mike Rattigan, fellows behind Amity. What's nice about Amity is over 37,000 lodges, I think, are listed on it. It's far better than the digital lodge listing that I tried to put together. And for that reason, I'm retiring the digital lodge finder, which was an Excel-based tool. So instead, you'll see a link to Amity. I hope you guys decide to use it. Again, I had the creators and the proprietors of that particular app on this episode. We had a great talk, and we dove into the subject of visitation and how to do it and some of the bummers that come along with it and maybe how Amity can help out with a lot of that. So I hope you guys enjoy the interview, and we'll just go ahead and go right into that. All right, everybody, we're back this week. I've got a couple of guests on the program, very special guests indeed, Brother Jeremy Barnes and Brother Mike Rattigan. Brothers, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
Yeah, so if you wouldn't mind, Brother Jeremy, if you could give me, just give our audience your background as far as Masonic, you know, what lodge, what state.
Sure thing. So my name is Jeremy Barnes. I am a member of Potomac Lodge No. 5 in Washington, D.C. I am a past master of that lodge, served as master in 2009. Have since held a couple of Grand Lodge offices, but most people call me wrong worshipful. professionally, I've been doing software development for a couple of decades now and certainly having fun combining the two.
Right on. And how about you, Brother Mike Rattigan?
I am currently the senior warden of Independent Royal Arch Lodge No. 2 in New York. Professionally, I am a New York City fireman, as well as among other things. But I'm a father, I'm a husband, and that's about it.
Well, you said it's about it, but I think you both know that you guys do quite a bit, so thanks for all you guys are doing. Everybody out there,
Thank you.
Yeah, for sure. If these names sound familiar, that's because these guys are the guys behind Amity, which for our listeners out there who might not be familiar, imagine a really easy way to tell where you're going to go as far as a lodge if it's regular, but perhaps one of you guys could put a better explanation to that for us.
Sure. So basically, Amity is a tool for Masons. It will basically tell you from your jurisdiction where you can go travel or where other jurisdictions are, and the information will be displayed either in showing you can or you can't go there. And we thought it was really important because that's something that there's a lot of discussion about, there's a lot of confusion about. It seemed like it was just something that needed to be created.
Yeah, I'll agree with you, and I'll echo that sentiment. One thing that you mentioned, which I think is crucial, is the fact that it will show you, depending on where you are, what your Grand Lodge recognizes and where you can go. There's something to be said when you can just grab something and go, oh, that lodge is listed. Are they in recognition with your own lodge? That's a key component. And I think it's a brilliant analogy, but I'll have some listeners who might disagree. There's a great web app out there that tells me reciprocity laws as far as firearms and where I can go with a license in my state and or what I need to do in order to travel to different places. And I think with Amity, it's kind of like that in terms of you get that specificity coming from your own personal jurisdiction, which I think is crucial. Did you guys have some pain points when you guys started to create this? What was your big, we got to do this?
So to be fair, you know, as with any new endeavor, there, I think every step has been a pain point, but, you know, it's been fun too. I said earlier that I was the master of Potomac Lodge in 2009. A couple years after that, I actually served as its secretary for 3 years. Potomac Lodge is in Washington, D.C., and we're the oldest lodge in the area. We were chartered in 1789, so we're one of those places that a lot of people like to come and visit. And as a secretary, I always found that it was horrible trying to understand, you know, where is this person from? Can they visit? God, you know, I look at the Tyler's card and I can't spell their name for the minutes. You know, there was just all this drama about someone showing up at the door, the way of us actually being Masons and sharing a lodge meeting with each other. So, you know, part of the whole idea was to say, look, this administrative stuff is important, but it shouldn't stop us from being brothers. And oh, by the way, if it can help us find each other and help us, you know, get to know each other better, then we're really going in the right direction.
Let's take a break from the product for a minute. I want to talk a little bit about going into this subject of visitation. We all know as a master mason, you are, and in some jurisdictions, even as an entered apprentice and fellow craft, maybe when you have a liaison, you are enabled to work and travel in foreign countries, as we say, go and visit other lodges. That is your right as a master mason. Typically, all that's required is to show your dues card. And what they normally do is they pull out this neat little book by Pentagraph Publishing, which has all the lodges all over the world who have recognition, so on and so forth. And that's all well and good. What happens if you don't have your dues card? Maybe you have to take this thing or you give this lecture called the test oath, or there's a whole slew of things as that Jeremy was mentioning that we have to do in order for visitation to happen. But what I find interesting is we have a lot of red tape to go through. We have a bunch of pomp and circumstance in regards to how to visit. Sometimes we go through and we just show up, and other times we are told that we have to go through this guy and go through this guy. How do you feel about the Masonic quote-unquote red tape?
Well, it's certainly something that after speaking to many grand secretaries all throughout the world, they're very hopeful in something like Amity. As of right now, that, you know, we always tell everybody you certainly have to contact your grand secretary. That's the system right now. Are people circumventing that? Yes, they are. The internet has been doing that for many years now. And it is creating an issue. So what we're trying to do is build that back in by allowing there to be some oversight and for people to be able to see more freely and more accurately where they can go. And the system, you know, is able to maintain up-to-date information. Like a lot of times when people look at that book could be out of date. For instance, we were able to go over to Scotland and visit. And technically that book said that I could go, but during that period, New York and Scotland did not have recognition. Having this information readily available is very important.
And Robert, I'll also add, I think it's really important to have some of this red tape, right? we are not at the Blue Lodge level or at the individual Mason level. You know, we're not investigating other Grand Lodges. We're not finding out whether or not they adhere to the same landmarks that we do. There are a lot of important reasons that things like the Commission on Recognition at the Conference of Grand Secretaries level exists. They do important stuff, and they allow us to be Masons without worrying about all of that drama that goes on, you know, in between Grand Lodges. So I think it's definitely important. I think that we need to respect that as Masons, because we need to be confident in meeting our obligation and ensuring that, you know, we're using proper Masonic information, as we say, to find one another. So I'm certainly a big fan of some of the red tape. My question is always, does the red tape have to have a person in the middle of it, or can we chase the tape, in a way that might make it a little bit easier for us to actually visit each other?
Yeah, I will agree with you there. We have laws for a reason. But like you said, does there have to be somebody manning that all the time? The book, like, I love that book, and I think it's a treasured thing to have, but I myself have found errors in the book. If during the middle of a year, like you said, there was a suspension of recognition between two grand jurisdictions, this becomes an issue. Also, another thing that I find frustrating is, let's say you go to a Grand Lodge website, and most of them have a listing of lodges, most, and some of them don't. But how often are websites being kept up, per se? I think we all know there are lodges out there that probably have 10 different websites, because every time a brother thought he was doing a good deed by starting up a new website, there's, you know, different versions out there. And with all that, there's no way to stay current with a lot of this stuff and to guarantee it. One thing I wanted to ask is, for you guys, how do you find your relationship with Grand Lodges are in terms of, I'll give you an example. A friend of mine contacted a Grand Secretary to tell him something very crucial about their website. And when he did that, the Grand Secretary said thanks, but then also turned right around and sent the other guy, his Grand Secretary, a nasty gram that he didn't go through the proper channels. So this guy was like in all kinds of trouble when all he was doing was helping out another Grand Lodge, but he didn't contact his Grand Secretary to contact the other Grand Secretary. Have you guys had that same kind of red tape? Have you been able to just say, hey, Grand Secretary so-and-so, we got this thing going on. What do you think about it? How does that work for you?
I think there are two things here, right? And I'll hit on one, and I'll hand it off to Michael to hit on the other. From a general perspective, there's not a day that goes by. I mean, literally every day we get feedback from someone who's using Amity that says, hey, can you update, you know, our website in Amity, or can you add some meeting times, right? So to your point, we are being, I'll say, deluged even by all of these people who really want to share what they're doing with the rest of the world, and it's great to hear from them. Having said that, the point that you brought up is a great one, and you know, I asked Michael earlier, what would Google do if a human had to deliver every email that is sent through Gmail, right? It just would be a non-starter. And Michael's really been the one who has been calling all these Grand Lodges, so he certainly got the other half of it as the guy who calls up and goes, hey, so I'm an American and we've got this app and I want to talk to you about it. So Michael, if you want to hit on some of those stories, I think it'd be a good counterpoint there.
Yeah, sure. I mean, so, you know, it's like really anything. Think of, there's close to 300 jurisdictions and everybody has their own personality, you know, just like in the regular world. And everyone has certain levels of help within their jurisdiction. Certain jurisdictions are different sizes and it's different times of the year and different schedules. So it always just really depends on the time. We certainly have had some people who wanted more of a formal introduction, and then that was given. From the standpoint of certainly our grand jurisdiction of now who we are and what we've created, but they also want to be separate. They're a jurisdiction unto their own, and this has been a project that Jeremy and I have done separately now, and it's really for the benefit of the craft. So for the most part, everybody's been very well received of it. Certain jurisdictions do have certain protocols, and we have to adhere to them no matter how long it takes, and patience is definitely going to be a virtue with working with so many jurisdictions.
Maybe offline you can tell me who's giving you the biggest headache, but I have some ideas.
I'll take a moment to actually plug your Grand Secretary, Frank Klein, who has been a great supporter of us. And I got to tell you, Michael was saying earlier, but he is still in the app, still checking it out, still giving us feedback here and there. And we've had, I think, a great relationship with Illinois, and it's certainly a trendsetter for how we would like to work with other jurisdictions. So a lot of thanks there for the Grand Secretary of Illinois.
Absolutely.
Yeah, thanks so much. Frank is he's a hardworking dude, and every time I see him, I think I told you guys this in the green room. I said, I'll email that guy on a Sunday when the rest of us are having family time or having a drink or whatever, and he's just right there like, you know, Johnny on the spot with emails, and that guy is great. So I'm sure he'll be very pleased to hear that you guys are fans. Let me ask
you. And I will say this about that, you know, one of the things, speaking with so many Grand Secretaries, for pretty much every one of them, you can tell really cares about the craft and are really doing a great job. You know, that is one of the things, regardless of personalities and protocols and jurisdictions. This office, it's been quite a Masonic education for me to be in contact with so many gentlemen, that's really one of the things that allows it to be so pleasant.
That's awesome. Yeah, it restores a little bit of faith in mankind, I suppose. There's just so many times where, with the Masonic fraternity, a lot of guys who are just, you know, I don't want to say just members or whatever, but there are people out there who don't do much aside from visit their own lodge, and they don't realize everything that has to go on in the background in order for this system to work. So I certainly appreciate what you guys are doing.
So I was going to say, if you don't mind me telling a quick war story, here we are talking about how the sausage is made, if you will, at the Grand Secretary level, and I'll leave the country nameless. But as an example, you know, there's a country right now where there are two Grand Lodges with the exact same name. 30 of the lodges, the first 30 lodges, are exactly the same names. People are not really sure who's who, which Grandmaster belongs to which Grand Lodge. They're actually in court in their country to figure out who's allowed to use the name, right? So when we talk about drama, you know, as Michael said, this has been an amazing Masonic education, because you sort of get up to the Grand Lodge level, and there's always the politics of your jurisdiction, but a lot of us don't realize how much politics goes on in between the nearly 300 jurisdictions around the world to actually allow us to all work together relatively seamlessly from the person, you know, the perspective of the person who's going to a different lodge.
Yeah, I can definitely respect that. I mean, if anybody goes to Grand Lodge sessions, you get a taste. I mean, just a taste of what some of those troubles can be. But until you're in one of those countries or you work with that stuff firsthand, I'm sure that there's incredible things that we just couldn't believe.
And I'll tell you, it has been beautiful to go visit those countries. I would recommend to anybody that's listening to this podcast, don't just travel outside your state. Go travel outside the country if you get the opportunity, because, you know, just like we have different characters in our own states, the rest of the world is very different from America. And everyone that we've met has been just so welcoming. It's been a real thrill to be a part of.
Amen to that.
Right on. So one of the things I think is interesting is we used to, every once in a while, I'd get excess books, these Pentagraph publishing books, the Book of Lodges, and I'd hand them out to friends who visit a lot. I'm like, I don't have anything to do with them. Take one, you know? And the problem with those books is that not everybody can have one. They're very limited in publishing, and when they send them out, you know, they're only good for the year, because this stuff changes every year. It's not good for 99.9% of the Masonic brothers out there. And so, within your app, have you found that... You already kind of touched on Grand Lodge response to this, but how has the response been from brothers around the states? We'll just focus on the United States, for instance.
So for the most part, it's been great. You know, people, I mean, if that's what keeps us going, you know, it's hearing how much people love the hard work that we've put into this. Certainly, it's not without error, I will say. We put in a lot of information. There's typos sometimes and whatnot, but for the most part, what we're trying to do is create something that has access to be updated at an easy pace, and everybody seems to like it.
I'll offer a buzzword as an explanation. This is sort of like crowdsourced Freemasonry. And I don't say that to say, hey, anybody can chime in and make it what they want. You know, we're certainly offering a structure and a framework. But what we've really been impressed by, we're serving members in close to 3,000 lodges now around the world. And as I said earlier, folks are just really excited to have the opportunity to share what they're doing with the world. You know, we now have meeting times for about 19,000 lodges out of the 37,000 or so lodges that we have in our system. And that's growing every day because people are just excited to say, hey, this is when I meet, you know, come visit me. So we've really gotten a great response from the brothers. Shout out to Texas. They are still our most populous state in Amity, but there are a couple of grand jurisdictions that are charging up behind and trying to take the lead.
Let me ask you this. How have you found, there's a lot of, I'll just call them programs. Is there a decent, have you been able to reach out to some of these other folks like Maury? I know like Missouri uses not Maury, they use another system. And I think Texas uses a different system as well. Do you find there's competition there, or do you think that there's room for integration on that kind of stuff? How do you see the future of kind of membership management and pipe dream, let's say 10, 15 years down the road, is there a space where Amity maybe has a little bit of that going on too?
So let me put it this way. We have a solid relationship with the guys, for example, from Circumscribe, you know, which is in Florida and New Jersey, from Maury, which has a dozen or 20 states, give or take, from Grandview, which I think is coming up on their 25th state. Those guys are doing amazing work. And quite frankly, they're working at a level that we are in awe of all of the minutiae that they handle. They do their job well. We're excited for them. They're certainly competing with each other. Our goal is to say, look, these systems, whichever one you happen to use, even if it's Rolls or Glims or, you know, there are a few other smaller ones out there, they know your grand jurisdiction very well. There's no better expert. What our role is to bring the rest of the world, right? Out of those 300 jurisdictions, someone from any of those grand lodges could walk into your lodge tomorrow. How do you figure out whether or not you can actually let them in the door?
That's awesome.
So the other interesting thing, of course, is from the perspective of the Grand Lodge, we're working with several Grand Lodges who have directed their member management system to integrate with us. And it's mainly for the purpose of saying, great, you know, now we can actually do automatic verifications. You know, if you sign up in real time, we can actually ping the Grand Lodge management system and understand whether or not you're actually a Mason and auto verify you in Amity. You know, so we're doing some basic integration there, but realistically, our goal is to serve Masons around the world at the human level, right? At the I'm a Mason and I want to be a Mason level. We don't have our sights set on ruling the world and being the Amazon for Freemasonry, kind of owning everything. But we think that there's a lot more integration that can happen across all of the jurisdictions, and we're really trying to be the grease between all of that.
Yeah, I think that's a wonderful way to put it. You know, recently, I want to say you guys were featured in something from MSA. Is that correct?
Yeah, we've partnered with the MSA. It's definitely been a great partnership. We're having the electronic bulletins within Amity now for a subscription. It is less expensive than the paper format. We're trying to win two battles at once here, and people seem to like that as well. So this is another way for us to help out and to have another function within Amity.
And Robert, I'll say, just to foot stomp that for a second, this is a great way to look at what Amity's goal is. People ask us all the time, hey, you're free. Are you going to sell my information? What's your business model? How are you going to stay in business? What do we do next year when you guys decide that, you know, there's no more money in it? You look at the MSA, right now you can pay them $12 by check, you know, and get 12 pieces of paper in your mail.
By check.
Yeah, by check. No kidding. And when we started working with Most Worshipful Brother Laplace over at the MSA, who has been wonderful to work with, we approached him and said, hey, we'd really like to find a way to work with the MSA. What do you think about putting the short talk bulletins in Amity? And this was their first step sort of into the digital world for that. You can now, as Michael said, purchase the short talk bulletin subscription for $10 instead of $12, right? The MSA saves money because they don't have to ship you a bulletin by paper, right? They deliver it through Amity. And we get a small commission when you make a purchase, right? So what we've done is take technology and give everyone a win. The MSA gets more money, the buyer saves money, the Mason saves money, and we get a small commission that helps us keep actually paying the bills. And that's something that just didn't exist before. So we're looking for ideas like that to help the craft writ large get great information out, give access to it to the brethren, and as I said, keep the lights on.
That's a really key relationship to have, a win-win-win like that, and that's what I've tried to do with. It's always hard, right? Like, as a Mason, you want to go and you want to give everything that you can. And there's always this, you know, there's the angel on your shoulder that says, you can't really charge for this, right? Because it's a fraternal philanthropic organization, this, that, and the other. But the fact is that you have bills to pay, you know, when it comes to the production cost of whatever you're doing. So you have to strike a really nice balance there. And I think it's so important, to do that. And I love that you guys are upfront and honest about how you guys are making ends meet. And of course, you know, what I think a lot of folks sometimes don't always realize is that there's so much more, I think, that isn't, I guess, valued, that people don't understand how much work goes into something. So, you know,
that's the truth.
Yeah. You know, I mean, to bring people a 45-minute podcast is 6 hours. Of work generally, you know, between 4 and 6 hours, because I edit, and we want to bring a good quality product, you know, dual stereo channel, 320 kilobyte stereo audio, all these things go into it, and that's really important. Just like you guys are sitting behind a computer at times and making phone calls and probably cold calls, and I'm sure you guys have put in so many hours. I mean, I could tell you before Amity, I actually spent time just going to every single Grand Lodge in the United States, grabbing their information off the website and in inputting it into Excel and turning it into just an Excel slicer database. And that was great for a little while, but there are some states that don't have a great system online to pull from and copy and paste, and formatting gets all weird. And so you spend so much time having to input this data. A lot of it's manual data entry at times. And so I can't imagine how much with, you said 30,000 lodges that you've got inside the program right now.
Yeah, 37,000. Yeah. And I got to tell you know, you're absolutely right. Even I didn't really think through all of the stuff, you know, and I've been doing most of the development. It's like, yay, let's put a function into an app and make it available. But then you stop and go, well, people have to be able to reset their password, you know, and that has nothing to do with Freemasonry, mm-hmm. but it has everything to do with security, right? We've gone back and forth on a lot of different subjects about things that we're just not willing to put in the app yet because we can't secure it properly, right? So you're absolutely right. There's been this whole sort of important things around the main purpose that are critical, but just never get seen. Encryption, for example. You know, there's so much of it, and it's been a fascinating journey.
Have you had any moments where you're just sitting there and you're thinking, this is great, you launched it, you know, you went about your work, you were at your day job, and you open it up in email, and there's a problem, and you literally you sit back and it eats at you all day until you can get home to fix it, or on your lunch break, or take 10. And then maybe, or you have that moment where you literally, the head in your hands moment, you're like, oh, shit.
You know, never give in.
Yeah. Have you had those moments?
I've said a couple of times, we're quickly getting to the point where we're no longer scared of failure. We're scared of success. When we sort of had the first day of, it looks like we might have over 100 people registering today and they're all submitting tickets. You know, it's wonderful to get to the point where we're regularly getting hundreds of people that come in and are feeling that this is a tool that they would like to use. And right now it's two guys being the proverbial duck and swimming like hell under the water and trying our best to make our feathers look nice up top.
I hear that. So let me ask you, if you guys could tell approximately how many users, and everybody out there should understand that within Amity, if you didn't catch it earlier, every person who uses it, who registers it, is verified through a Grand Lodge system. So it's not like just anybody hops on there and is finding out information. But how many registered Masons you guys have using the program, if you can give that?
Yeah, so we typically don't talk about our numbers, but I'll say it like this. We're now serving Masons in, I think as of today, it's 159 Grand Lodges across 67 countries. And I said earlier, you know, we're actually coming up on about 3,000 lodges for all those different people. We've got Texas is coming up on 500 people in their Grand Lodge. So, you know, you can sort of start to do the math from there. It's also important to note, and this is something that Michael kicks me about regularly, everyone who registers, whether or not they're verified, still has access to a basic amount of information. And the reason for that is because anyone can go to Pantagraph's website and buy themselves a book, right? It's all out there. As you said, most of the stuff in the States, it's all on the internet. So the existence of a lodge, With some exceptions, you know, there are some secure locations, but the existence of a lodge in a city is something that anybody can get to, and our you know, question of whether or not you recognize that lodge. But once you are are verified, either through our work or through your secretary or grant secretary, that's when you get access to the advanced features like, hey, I actually want to find out the meeting times. I want to get directions to the lodge. I want to see the short talk bulletins and go on from there.
That's fantastic. That is absolutely brilliant that you guys are working this hard at something, that, and it's really taken off. And it makes me really happy to see technology take off this way in an organization that sometimes is a little behind the curve. You know, we as an organization have spent decades being the model for society, and then at a point I think society in some respects may pass us by. So it's important to stay relevant and to be able to offer things like this. Mike, you're the guy who does a lot of the calls, so maybe you've got some stories. Have you had any maybe interjurisdictional concerns? Have you had jurisdictions who say, yeah, no? I mean, you don't have to say who they are, but have you had that kind of thing?
Well, yeah, I mean, certainly. I mean, in the beginning, especially. But as we progressed and people understand who we are and what's important to us, obviously everybody realizes then what we're actually doing. There has been some misconceptions. Obviously, anything with technology, the public is scared with things like Facebook and things like that. Those are all issues that people are aware of now. Those are things that Jeremy and I have always sworn that we do not give away any information. We understand. It's why we put so much encryption into this. But in the beginning, sure, there's people who certainly want more information, and rightfully so. They should. Just like if I were to get that phone call before I knew anything about this type of technology. So, yeah, that's certainly happened. But for the most part, we've been to South America. We have a lot of help from individuals like your grant secretary, grant officers in my grant jurisdiction, grant secretary Lynn down in Florida. You know, people have helped, and it's been a great journey.
That's fantastic. You guys mentioned security, so I just got to touch on this. Security with Facebook and, you know, third-party selling of data, that kind of thing you guys touched on. But let's say I'm running for Worshipful Master. Is there any chance that there's going to be some Russian interference and I'll win my election to Worshipful Master because of some Russian interference? Or
I'm trying to figure out whether you think that's a good thing or a bad thing. I mean, do you really want to be in the East?
There's the question. Yeah, I'm hoping the Russians are going to interfere.
The answer is no, right? You know, we're not in the business of selling anybody's data. That is not why we're here, and that's specifically why we've taken the tack that our sort of business model is, if we can put people together, then there's a relationship that they wouldn't have without us. And think of Amazon, for example. You know, when we talk about things like the Short Talk Bulletin, if you buy something on Amazon, you're paying the seller, but Amazon's taking a small commission, right? And I would bet that most Freemasons around the world would say, if I can buy a forget-me-not pin from some random person on Amazon, or I can buy it from someone that I have a higher sense of being done right by that person because they share my values, they're also a Mason. You know, we think that people would want to do business with other Masons. And that doesn't mean that, you know, you get into Freemasonry because you want to do business, but if you have a business and you can share that with others, then I would rather trust someone that I know is trustworthy, right? So we're trying to create a community like that and not create a community where you're going to see an ad every, you know, 2 seconds and, you know, you're getting emails from some random company because we sold your contact information, right? Those are two very different things, and we really don't want to be in the business where the Russians have any say in what we're doing. Unless it's the Grand Lodge of Russia, which, you know,
which we do.
They're fairly new. They're good guys, I guess.
Andrei Bogdanov, the Grand Master, has been coming to D.C. for near on a decade by now. So it's an interesting story. But that's for another day, another drink.
So, gents, I want to ask you about travel. It's the big thing that we do. We talked a little bit about it at the top of the program, but Jeremy, what advice would you have to somebody when they're looking to travel, whether that is interjurisdictionally, maybe even outside the country? What are the typical steps that somebody should be doing? What is some advice that you have?
Yeah, I mean, the first thing is go, right? You know, you always get a different perspective when you see a different lodge work, no matter where it is. And if you're thinking about it, do it. It is absolutely worth it. Having said that, I think the most important thing is to do your best to make sure that you're well introduced. I would always get in touch with your grand secretary if it's possible. Now, don't get me wrong. Protocol says start with your grand secretary, but if you're in the grand jurisdiction already, opt and not go to a meeting just because you're secretary. And that's where a little bit of research comes in, and I think where Amity can help. You may not know that there are 10 lodges around you. You only knew about the one that met yesterday. But to the extent that you can reach out, contact people, and not walk in the door cold, I think being expected is always the best, because it allows the brothers that are there to do their best job to welcome you as well, and everyone's happier when they can put on a good face.
Right on. I can respect that. When you say, like, you're in the country already, yeah, like, what are you supposed to do? Or do you type in the name of the city you're in and type in Masonic Lodge? I mean, are you going to get those kind of results? Do we even know what we're looking for? The results are going to be in different language, maybe. And so, is that how maybe you would use Amity?
For sure. I mean, for me, the easiest thing to do, you know, you go into our lodge finder and you say lodges near me, and it'll tell you, you know, you pick your radius from, I think we have in there 5 to 50 miles, and you can see exactly what's around you. So depending on the country, we may have more or less information. So, our goal is not to be the end all be all and replace everything. Again, to the extent that you can still get a hold of somebody, if it's 5 hours earlier for your grand secretary, shoot them a note or a call. But if it doesn't work, I got to tell you, in Washington, D.C., we get people knock on our door all the time that we had no idea they were showing up, and it always makes for a great night. So don't ever be scared to go visit a lodge, and we're hopeful that in that short notice period, where the most important thing is you get to fellowship with your brothers, great. If we can help out there, that's why we're here.
That's awesome. How about you, Mike? What advice do you have when traveling around and visiting lodges?
Well, like Jeremy said, it certainly is an eye-opener to see just how special it is in other areas, but also how special it is back at home, and to really try to do it as much as possible. I always believe in, before you go to any level, you know, go to the lodge level, go to your past masters, speak to them about Masonic courtesy. It's important to know a lot of these things, and I think ultimately that's why there's been so much red tape throughout the years, is because they want to preserve a portion of that. So it's very important to still have that. Make sure you have a great education before you start doing those things. But once you have that, certainly Amity is a great tool to be able to look at and do a little research beforehand. And like Jeremy said, for the most part, there are people sometimes in different places they didn't think they'd have the opportunity to go. And then maybe a night is opened up, and why shouldn't they go be able to meet some brothers in that area? It's what the rest of the world has. And unfortunately, we don't have it yet in the craft. So that's how I feel about visitation.
And Robert, I'll add to that, just to tip our hat a little bit. One of the things that we're really excited about in the next probably 2-ish months, you'll actually be able to ask Alexa or Siri, you know, hey, is there a lodge meeting in Houston next Tuesday? That's something that, again, the craft just doesn't even have a concept of right now. And from a research perspective, just being able to say, I'm going to be in Houston next week, can I go? And have something do the thinking for you is, I think, a great first step towards, again, getting in the same room with your brothers. Your phone's never going to be your sixth point of fellowship. But if we ignore it and don't use it to connect with each other, we're missing an opportunity.
I love the way you said that. I think you ended that perfectly. All right. Well, I got to thank Jeremy and Mike for hopping on the program. This has been just fantastic. One last question before we go. You're in New York. You're in D.C. How'd you guys hook up?
Are you sure you have time for that? So Jeremy and I have known each other for pretty much our whole lives. Our parents were friends, still are friends, many years ago, like two, you know, young men growing up and blazing their own path. We eventually hooked back up, and it's been a great Masonic journey. Actually, Jeremy is one of the people who first started answering a lot of my questions about the craft, and from a distant place. And I am to this day forever grateful for that. So I can never get rid of this guy.
Ain't that the truth? You're stuck.
That's great to hear, guys. So again, everybody out there listening, check out the app. We'll have links to it in the show notes, and we're probably just going to put a link up on the website. It'll be up in the bar, so you guys can click on that too if you guys head over to the website. But seriously, Jeremy, Mike, you guys are doing something really wonderful here, and I'm really excited for the future and what you guys are going to do. So thanks very much.
Thank you, Robert.
Thank you, Robert.
It's an absolute pleasure.
And if you got any extra room in the bar with the link, I'll be sitting next to it with a drink.
Sounds good, man. Sounds good. We'll talk to you all later.
All right, brother. Be well.
All right. I hope you enjoyed the interview. Please go check them out. They put in a lot of hard work. One thing I did want to mention is there will be a possibility here in the next couple months where I am going to be updating the WCY podcast studio a little bit. We're going to throw some paint up, maybe some wallpaper, and probably put in a new desk and yada, yada, yada. So I think we're going to end up doing that. But to do that, we may be dark 1 or 2 weeks. So I do apologize for that. Typically, we put out 50 episodes a year, only going dark on Christmas and New Year's. This year, we may have an additional 2 dark episodes, so we'll have 48 quality episodes instead of the 50. I hope it doesn't throw you off too much, but hey, who knows, maybe we can get the work done and we'll still have episodes come out. I just can't make any promises right now. In other news, I just want to go ahead and take just a moment and remind everybody we wrote a book. It's called It's Business Time, Adapting a Corporate Path for Freemasonry. So if you're a brother who loves the idea of leadership and how to adapt success into the fraternity to make things even more streamlined, even more economical, and learn how to invest more in your people, go ahead and check that book out. If you go to wcypodcast.com, you can click on the links on the sidebar. You can get it in Kindle, or you can get it in print, or you can get an autographed copy right from me. If you click the links on the sidebar, those will take you to Amazon, and they'll send you the copy of the book. That's all well and good. Now, if you want an autographed copy, then by all means, head on over to our website and click on Limited Edition Shop. Once you're there, you can scroll down to the bottom, and you'll see it. A little picture there for It's Business Time, Adapting a Corporate Path for Freemasonry. Again, I'll autograph that and send it right out to you. The big news there is also we've been asked, when is it coming out on Audible? You want to listen to this book? Great. It's coming. And we've got a great brother who has agreed to do the reading. I think you're all going to enjoy it. And stay tuned for the news. So as soon as that comes out, we'll be able to share the links for the Audible as well. Coming up in just a couple months, going into August, so just about a month away now, we're having Camp Masonry. It's going to be pretty fantastic. I hope you guys all come out and check that. There's tons of dudes that are coming out to speak at this thing. If you go to campmasonry.com, you'll see it's up there for August 9, 10, 11, 12. I'll be there for a few days. It looks to be just a fantastic event. I'm super excited to go. I actually love camping and all that goes along with that, so I'm very excited. They have a couple different passes to do the they have a way to basically choose your own adventure. The way they sell tickets is pretty cool. Most Worshipful Brother Eric R. Shaw is going to be there. J. Keith Green, who's the Grand High Priest, the Grand Chapter, Royal Archmasons of Ohio. They're going to have William Bill Carter is going to be there. Harry Weaver talking about bogus Freemasonry. Of course, I'll be there talking about Esoterics 101 and also a presentation on the Tetragrammaton. So I'll do 2 lectures. One is a little more open than those gentlemen who find that they rather enjoyed that and want to take the next dive in. We'll do the Tetragrammaton or the Word. We've got Daniel D. Krinko, who's doing the education of the New Brothers. We've also got Chad E. Simpson, who's hosting the Festive Board Dinner. Albert McClelland, he's talking about Masonic awareness. Of course, Brother Dave Bacon is doing a piece on symbolism, how experience shapes perception, and Brother Jason Bryce. And he'll be talking about symbolism and the letter G. And they're going to be doing some degrees. They'll be doing a Master Mason degree. They'll be doing the Mark Master degree, DMLA initiation degrees. The Grotto will be there. Pretty intense, pretty rad. Really looking forward to this. It's being hosted at 5600 West Sylvania Avenue in Toledo, Ohio. So, again, it is campmasonry.com. Head on over there for Camp Masonry 2018. I hope to see you guys out there. It's going to be a blast. Oh, and I think Mike Hambrick might be there too, so another really cool reason to come out. I'm not sure if he's presenting or not, but I have a feeling he's going to be there and we'll be hanging out. And that's the last presentation I've got for this year until maybe December. So if I don't see you then maybe I'll see you around in Illinois Masonry. If you like Masonic podcasts, please check out the Masonic Roundtable, going live every Tuesday at 10, 9 Central. A great program. We are able to interact with our audience live via YouTube, answer questions on Facebook, all that good stuff right there on the air. You'll have a good time with us. It's an open invite. I invite you to come hang out and chit-chat with us, live chat, and as we talk about Freemasonry and a wide variety of topics. If you like reading Masonic stuff, I would encourage you to go ahead and go to themidnightfreemasons.com or .org, same website. You can go to either or. We put up 3 new articles every single week, Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays. And if you don't want to read and you'd like those to be read to you, how about you enable that skill on your Amazon Echo? That's right. You can enable the Midnight Freemasons skill, and Echo will read you the last 3 posts from the Midnight Freemasons. If you already read one and you want to skip it, just have Echo skip, say Echo next, and she'll go into the next one, and you can do that and just listen to any of the last 3 that you want. It's pretty cool. And last but not least, just want to invite you to help support this program. You can do that by going to WCYpodcast.com, click on Direct Donation through PayPal. When you do that, you're going to see a couple different buttons. The top one says Make a One-Time Donation, and it says Donate. And underneath says Make a Monthly Contribution, and you can click Subscribe. Now, there's a little drop-down. You can choose a $2 a month contributor, a $5 a month fellow, or a $10 a month producer. And what's great about that is we have monthly bills that just hit the account, so I don't actually have to manage anything. Everything just gets auto-debited from that account. When we have regular contributors, that fund always has the money in there to take care of things like our hosting costs and web hosting and all that good stuff. What we want to do is make sure that all the episodes are always available for you forever. So, if you want to listen to episode 1, you don't have to pay a premium. You just go and access it and listen to it. And that's true all the way up to episode 351, this one. That's right, we've been doing this since July of 2011, you guys, and it's all thanks to you. You've all made this possible. You are the producers of this program, and I thank you so much for allowing me to bring you Masonic Education week after week. Speaking of week after week, that's it for this week. I hope you enjoyed. I hope you download Amity. I hope you enjoy it. So until next week, stand in love. For Whence Came You, I'm Robert Johnson.
You've been listening to Whence Came You, a Masonic podcast featuring research papers and discussions related to Freemasonry with your host, Brother Robert Johnson. Be sure to join us for our next edition.